The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Today is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth, and Ron's Electric Motors.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to the Tuesday, September 16th edition of Guardian Radio Today. I am your host, Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Ankusa Ra. And as always, it is my pleasure to be here with you today. We have an open line today. I want to give you an opportunity to share what it is that's on your mind. You know, there's a lot going on, as always, not only locally, but nationally. And, you know, I want to hear from you. Today's numbers, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. In the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Of course, our text line is powered by BTC, and standard text rates do apply, 422-4796 if you want to text us. Of course, we're streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com, and we're also on Cable Bahamas channel 969, and of course, BTC Flow channel 612. I also have things that I observe and want to share, you know, as I observe the world at large. Oftentimes, you turn on the news and you realize that there's nothing really new going on in the news. I mean, the names may change, the faces may change, but often the symptoms of a broken society are all they're really discussing day to day, and so I wanna have the conversations that are gonna ultimately manifest today within that context. I see a caller coming through. Caller, just bear with me for a second. Producer will get you onto the air in just a second. The realities that we're faced with in the Bahamas are not happening in a vacuum, right? Last week we did a show on AI, and I said I wanted to just see, you know, what AI has to say about some things, right? Oftentimes we are programmed to things from a perspective that doesn't necessarily advantage us as a people. And so I turned to AI to ask AI a couple of questions. So AI will be a part of the conversation today. All right. But what was important for me as I questioned AI was to see how AI sees the Bahamas, right? And what's actually happening in the Bahamas, right? Oftentimes, we don't understand the dominant culture, the dominant society. We're a former colony, but as I've repeatedly said, being a colony, before 1973, and now being what is called an independent nation, it didn't necessarily cause the things that were colonizing us to just disappear, right? And so I asked AI, I said, how has white supremacy affected the Bahamas? All right. I think this is important because let me look at what we were left with after 1973. We still speak the same language of our colonizers, et cetera. We still have the same systems in place. And so I said, you know, it's just an imaginary thing that I'm talking about, or does AI see this as well? Carly, we're going to get to you. I'm just waiting for the producer to get back in place to open up the lines. And again, this is an open line, right? So we're giving you the opportunity to share whatever it is you want to share. But I asked AI, and so AI said, white supremacy has significantly impacted the Bahamas, shaping the country's history economy, and social structures. Here are some key aspects of its influence. I'm going to read this and then we're going to go to the phone lines, right? AI says economic dependency and racial capitalism. This is one of the ways that white supremacy has affected the Bahamas. The Bahamas' economy is heavily reliant on tourism, which accounts for approximately 60% of the country's GDP, and directly or indirectly employs about 50% of the workplace. This dependency, keyword dependency, perpetrates a system of racial capitalism where economic power is concentrated in the hands of predominantly white elite. This is AI. The global system of white supremacy, it goes on to say, and racial capitalism is enforced through complacency or imposition, limiting the country's ability to develop independently. Are we complacent as a people? Do a lot of our decisions hinge on mediocrity, right? This is what AI is saying, right? Carl, I see I'm coming to you right now. The historical legacy of colonialism and racism, it goes on to say that the Bahamas has a history of colonialism and racism, with the white establishment banning films like No Way Out, all right, with Sidney Poitier in the 1950s, because it portrayed a black man as a proud and assertive individual. This sparked the formation of the Citizens Committee, my grandfather was a part of that, which played a role in the emergence of the Progressive Liberal Party and the struggle for majority rule. The country's past is marked by events like the Burma Road Riot and the General Strike, highlighting the struggles faced by black Bahamians in their fight for equality and justice. Let's run to the phone lines, Kermit here on Guardian Radio Today. This is an open line, but I wanted AI to be a part of the conversation too. I threw a question out to AI, and that's what AI had to say. But Carly, you're live today on Guardian Radio Today.
Carly, Dave, to this stack in the waist along with you, brother uncle.
Hey, namaste, Elder. How you doing?
Namaste, bud. I'm holding, thank God.
Good.
But what I want to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, AI was a place back in history, one of those countries, right? You know that, right?
No, say it again. AI was what?
Was a country, was a place in
history. Was? It was named AI?
Right.
Okay, educate me.
Well, I thought you would have known, so I, because I wanted to know what it's called today.
Hey, I'm not familiar with that, Elder Brayman. You said there's a country called AI.
Yes, it was in the east someplace.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I'll ask AI about it. Okay. Anything else you wanted to share?
Not really. Just give the family my regards.
I will.
And you're going to soon be seeing me. I'm just trying to get some
No problem. Was there a country called AI? In the past. I just put it in the past. All right. This is a question Elder Bremen asked. And we can go to the phone lines. Elder. It doesn't talk about a country called AI. All right. There's no evidence of a country called AI in the past or present. However, I'd like to provide some context that might be relevant to your question. The term AI typically refers to, and it goes on into that. Let's go back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio Today. Caller, you're live on Guardian Radio Today. Caller going once. All right. Let's go to the next caller. Caller, you're live on Guardian Radio Today.
Hey, great show. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
Hey, Radio Chief. Hey, I don't think we have racism predominant in the Bahamas nowadays. It happens in certain areas, in the island maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's predominant now. I think we have more sexism and classism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, classism is just as dangerous as racism.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you could probably better expound on that, but I don't think racism... I'll give you a prime example I'm talking mm-hmm. about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you think have a better chance on becoming prime minister? A white prime minister or a woman prime minister?
That's a great question.
And that will about prove my point right there, that the fact that we have predominant classism and sexism. Because
mm-hmm.
I think we have probably a chance of having a woman prime minister more than a white prime minister.
Mm. I understand racism to be.
Racism to me, right? I mean, to me, honestly, right? I'm a businessman. I actually believe in green. The only thing color I see is actually green. So I never really understood, to be honest with you, right,
mm-hmm.
The hate between white and black. Mm-hmm. I never really understood, to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. But all this basically depends on money.
Mm.
So okay. How you see black and white, right? I don't see it.
Yeah.
I see economics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I can't answer that because I never understood racism. It never made sense to me, to be quite honest with you.
Mm. All right. We can touch on that then. I appreciate that honesty. All right. Ella Bremen, we got a texter who kind of answered your question. You asked about a country called AI, right? It's not pronounced AI, but I, right? In Joshua chapter 8, all right, verses 23 to 25, it reads, "And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword." Sounds a lot like what's happening today in Palestine. Yeah. All right. I'm going to respond to the last call in a second, but let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. It's an open line. You know, we're talking anything from racism to Junkanoo to with politics, whatever. Let's hear what you got to say today. Call of your life. All right, that caller left. All right, so the reality, when we talk about racism, right, one of the reasons why we're not fully aware of what racism is because we've never really addressed it, or we don't address it in any real way. And so I would like to point you, the last caller, to an author by the name of Dr. Amos Wilson, right? I want to share some things from Dr. Amos Wilson. Dr. Amos Wilson, he was a renowned African-American theoretical psychologist, is what they refer to him as. He's a social theorist, a pan-African thinker, and extensive about the challenges facing black families and communities. According to him, the attack on the black family is a part of a broader systemic issue rooted in historical and ongoing oppression. There's also Neely Fuller Jr., which we'll talk about too in a bit, right? You need to look up Neely Fuller Jr. He wrote a book that counters racism, white supremacy. But here are some of the key points from Dr. Amos Wilson's work, right? He talked about the internalization of white supremacy. All right. Dr. Wilson argued that many problems in black communities, including black-on-black violence and self-hatred, stem from internalizing white supremacist ideologies. This internalization leads to self-destructive behaviors and a lack of collective black power. So when you have an education system rooted in white supremacy or a colonial system, when you have a religious system rooted in colonialism, right? When you have an economic system, a political system, a understanding of what this idea of internal is all about, right? This internalization of white supremacy refers to the process where individuals often unconsciously, that's why you say, I don't really know about it. You're not conscious of it, right? Often unconsciously adopt and internalize the dominant societal attitudes, beliefs, and ideologies that promote white supremacy or white superiority and racial hierarchy. This can manifest in various ways, including beliefs and attitudes, right? So within our beliefs and attitudes, holding biases or stereotypes about people of color, assuming white cultural norms are superior or entitled to certain privileges based on race. As far as behaviors are concerned, engaging in actions that reinforce racial disparities, such as discriminating against people of color or upholding systems that perpetuate inequality. So when you talk about classism, when you talk about sexism, all that's about a racism, white supremacy. All right. It talks about the psychological impact, experience and feelings of superiority, fragility, or discomfort when confronted with discussions of race or racism. So some people are cringing at right now, based on this program. And let's go back to the phone lines here, Guardian Radio today. Yeah, another text that talked about I was one of the nations that the Jews conquered when they came from Egypt. Thank you for that, texters. All right. And so again, today is an open line, but this is where the show started, and we're not going to stay here all day. But for the sake of the caller who said that he just wasn't aware of racism so much in the Bahamas, I'm reading through some things that he can research, right? The key aspects of this internalization of white supremacy, right? This concept is closely tied to internalized racism, where people of color may internalize negative messages about their own racial group, leading to self-hatred or low self-esteem. So oftentimes, when we talk about ourselves, if you pay close attention to the narratives, all right, that are being bantered about on the various talk shows, right? We will talk about how we love to talk about how no good our leaders are. I'm not saying leaders shouldn't be critiqued. I'm not saying that leaders can't do better, right? But the general gist of the electorate in the country is to complain about the leadership, right? As if the leadership did not come out of the electorate, right? The leaders of this country don't float in here to become our leaders, right? But as soon as they become a leader, we get on this soapbox about how leaders are not fit for leadership. When in truth, what it takes for a country to get the type of leaders that it ultimately needs is for itself to be a disciplined people. You see, a country receives or gets the leadership that it requires. You can't require anything from leadership that you don't first require from yourself. If you require transparency from government leaders or leaders in any organization, then we have to be transparent about who we are as a people. And who we are as a people has been affected by colonialism, has been affected by racism, white supremacy, has been affected by miseducation. All right? The book of Hosea talks about we are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It didn't say we destroyed for sin. It didn't say we destroyed. It says we are destroyed for because of a lack of knowledge. The problem we have ultimately in the country is ignorance. Okay? We ignore facts in many instances, and in many instances, we just don't know about what it is that's going on. And so last week, we talked about rum shop politics, right? We talked about, and rum shop politics is just one aspect or one prong of how we flirt with ignorance, right? Because you got rum shop everything, right? If we talk about relationships, if we talk about family, right? If we talk about Junkanoo, you know, I been trying to figure out what this whole Junkanoo conversation about now for must-see 2-3 weeks. I still don't know what it's about. Remember, I tell you this is an open line. So I deliberately poking the bear so that we could have some real conversations without just pointing fingers. You know, imagine if we could have a conversation where the Junkanoos talked about what was wrong with Junkanoo without blaming the government and vice versa. That would be a really awesome conversation. But I doubt it'll happen, right? So what we find is oftentimes we are in a position, right, that often, yes, I got Texas. I need the Texas who just won tax. Call in. You don't want to talk about Junkanoo? Call in. Yeah, the taxes say plenty hidden agendas. Well, that's what I'm talking about. We don't really have real conversations. We have conversations with a lot of innuendo. We have a lot of conversations where we ultimately, you know, we'll call in and we'll shoot a shot over the bow, right? But in truth, You know, are we really concerned about the country? Are we really concerned about what's best for the whole? Right? Yeah, yesterday, listened to some of the talk shows yesterday. Great, great shows. You know, my good cousin, who was on yesterday during this hour, she was going through the list of politicians and people were saying yay or nay. And I and it was a great show, you know. And I smiled because I say, but we do this every 5 years. You know what I'm saying? We sit back and I don't think we participate or know how to participate in our electoral process. We believe that once you cast your vote, that's the view, right? What is it that we as the electorate are supposed to be doing within the 5 years, right? KB said you got to hold your feet to the fire. Okay, well, you can't do it every 5 years. You got to do it every day, right? So in the political arena, what happens is you have career politicians, right? And I'm always wary of career politicians because I think if it's truly about service, see, jury duty is service, right? I could be wrong. There may be someone out there who is a career jury dutyist. But I doubt it. People is run from jury duty. That's a service, right? But if running this country was treated like jury duty, like, you know, you hey, it's your time now. You gotta you know, come up with some ideas and you gotta figure out a deal with the problems of this country. If that's what it was really about, I don't think you would have career politicians. But like the Texas said, plenty hidden agendas, right? And so this idea of finding out exactly what it is that is the cause of the violence, what it is that is the cause of the realities, the symptoms, I say, of what it is that we're constantly dealing with. Dr. Amos Wilson, you know, he talks about these realities, right? So there's an internalization of white supremacy. There's an economic disempowerment. Do we own our economy? I mean, we brag about tourism. You know, we have the financial sector. But do we have enough faith in ourselves to actually own the economy? Or are we going to complain, you know, if we were to run a hotel in this beautiful tourist economy, or let's say a cruise ship? You know, I hear the COI talking about great ideas with cruise ship and having cruise ships in within our country. Beautiful idea. Ourselves to run such enterprises? Or are we stuck in a program? You understand? Stacks says, good afternoon. I really appreciate your style and how you conduct your show. Your insight is refreshing. I'm really wary of the chronic callers and hearing their take on and everything every day. Yeah. You know, it's like you're in the echo chamber, right? You're in this echo chamber where people just, you know, there's an agenda. You know, some of the chronic callers, they obviously have a political affiliation and they want to make sure that their political party's views are always front and center. You understand what I'm saying? And so they will call in and they will make their points. And I mean, that's a democracy, right? You have the right to call in just like the so-called chronic callers. But many people don't call in because victimization. Right, I'm going to speak my mind, but what's the consequence of speaking your mind, right? So economic disempowerment, right? Dr. Amos Wilson emphasized that economic instability and lack of control over resources contribute significantly to the challenges faced families. Do we control the resources of this country? I dare say no. We don't even want to discuss what the resources of the country are. We were taught that we don't have any resources in the country. We have been taught that this is only a place for tourists to come and frolic and we are there to just serve them. That's it. You go from picking cotton to folding cotton. We are glorified landlords. These huge monstrosities of hotels placed in an environment that ultimately is struggling to feed the demand. What do I mean by that? You have to import so much of what is needed in the country because the demand is pretty high. If you're bringing in 11 million plus tourists, and obviously most of them are on the cruise ships, so that's another model that does not serve us. Right? These companies are allowed to buy islands, okay, and take the tourists on an all-exclusive trip to the Bahamas. We don't care about the people. We don't care about the economy. We care about the sun, sand, and sea. And that's what we brag about. And so as a young person coming up in the country, what are you supposed to look forward to? What are you supposed to put your head down and study and spend thousands of dollars to get a degree in what? This is what many people are faced with today. So economic disempowerment is a big part of racism, white supremacy. We don't see it because it's the norm. We expect not to own things in this country. We expect to talk about the people who do own things in the country. You understand? We expect that. You know, if in America, if you black and successful, you're in the Illuminati. You didn't just work hard. You're in the Illuminati. Let's go back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and the family of 2-300-5720. Our text lines today, 422-4796. Call you live on Guardian Radio today.
Yes, hi. I just have a comment.
Sure.
So I agree with everything what you're saying about the white supremacy and all the damage it has done.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at this point, you know, in 2025,
mm-hmm.
we should only be having discussions about solutions. We shouldn't even waste time and energy trying to diagnose and figure out why it happened. I think we have a general understanding of why it happened and
so why did
the
it
atrocities
happen?
That took place.
Why did it
I mean, based on what history has said, you know, that's a mentality. White mm-hmm. supremacy is a mentality.
Right.
That's where I'm going to leave it. It's a mentality, and everything that occurred is just built on top of it. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. we were the people that had to experience this atrocity. But I think what we have to understand, and I don't think the younger generation know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a millennial on the older side.
Yeah.
But to have that type of situation occur, and I said situation very lightly.
Yeah.
But to have that experience occur with a race of people, and to we're alive.
Mm-hmm.
We are accomplished. We're professionals. We still have some. You know, we still have some work to do. But mm-hmm. overall. And I don't think black people on a whole gets credit for going through 400 years of that
mm-hmm.
and still being able to be in the position where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
That's commendable.
I agree.
I mean, even on the American side, they don't give the credit because from the black Americans, the African Americans, they've only been, I mean, it's only really been 50 years out.
Yeah.
And they are accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a lot of work to do.
Right.
But overall, I mean, you figure 400 years versus 50 years, and you're still dealing with that. You're still dealing with a lot of institutionalized circumstances that
right.
they're still trying to get under wrap. But like, just going back to my main point, I think at this point we should focus more on solutions, on recognizing the problems that we still have and figuring out solutions, and not even giving the time of day to the individuals that the perpetrators, let me put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to focus and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, as time goes on, I think we'll get it together fully. But I think to really say, you know, we all have an understanding of what the issues are, but I think 400 years versus the little time that we've had,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. to really come up. I think we really, as a race, we've come up, and I think we're moving towards the future.
Okay. I appreciate mm-hmm. that call. I appreciate
all right,
that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
I think the caller definitely has pure intentions. And I think ultimately that what we're doing today is actually what the caller is suggesting. We actually are trying to get to the solutions, right? But the problem hasn't gone away from 400 years. See, when we talk about the progress of Black Americans or Black Caribbeans, right? Caribbean, Latinos, etc. We're nowhere close to where we were 400 years ago. Okay, we had our own language, we had our own religions, we had our own resources. I could go on and on, right? But we're not even close to where we were 400 years ago. And so we don't have to keep talking about that. We'll be stuck here in this quagmire of what we're calling progress today. Let's go back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio Today. Caller, you're live.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Uncle.
How you doing, Brother Glenn?
All right.
Respect.
But the lady was talking this night. I think you understand. I mean, the perspective, because you kind of check on the way, because it's more or less, they deal in the physical.
Yeah.
You know, they deal in the sense that, you know, look at the progress we have made financially.
Right.
I had this older person who I used to talk to, and she said, look, we come from outside toilet to inside toilet. That's not the objective. That's not the point. I'd rather live with outside toilet and have a knowledge of myself and live in a community where everyone know themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to live in a community where everybody have inside toilet and don't know themselves.
Mm. Amen.
You understand? Because
yep.
See, the thing about it is when you ask if we have the thing of to own our own industries or whatever the case may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our whole system is white supremacy, Angu.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't live in a system where we determine our education. This is not a product of self-determination that we exist in.
Mm-hmm.
We exist in a colonial system.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we learn is based on white supremacy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm.
People need to get away from this idea of these great jobs where we could dress up and we could go out for dinner every night now and we could have our car full of gas and we
yeah.
could live in big two-story house. And mm-hmm. That's not success as Black people.
That's consumerism.
You understand? Look at your community and look at the future that's coming up behind you. You understand? We do not know ourselves.
Mm.
All right? So not until we throw off all of the vestiges of slavery and colonialism will we ever get rid of white supremacy. It exists,
yeah.
and it is ingrained in our society in every way of life.
Yeah.
You know where I come from? It has even gotten us to the point where we hate ourselves.
That's a big part of it.
We view the impression or the perspective that we view our Haitian brothers and sisters from. That's a European perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand? All of these things we need to understand. Let me say something to Black people. Not until we could see ourselves as African, you know what I mean? Not until we could see ourselves as one people where we can say we threw off the vestiges of white supremacy and slavery, because their whole thing was to divide and conquer, and it's working today. You know what I mean? I mean, to be honest with you, this whole concept of being a Bahamian is a white man thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm coming from? So
mm-hmm.
form of white supremacy, and you bow into white supremacy because you're behaving as a Bahamian. You're behaving exactly archetype, whatever Bahamian is designed to be by them. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So not until we have all of these vestiges of slavery, not until we, like I say before, identify every aspect of our life, especially religion. Man, religion is a big thing too, but you can't get them to see that, Angu. You understand? You can't get them to talk about religion because religion is the biggest controller of the mentality and their focus, because they're not set in a revolutionary mindset to bring about the changes. Religion is supposed to help you bring about change and supposed to truly help you identify
Amen.
What the problem is.
Amen.
You understand where I'm coming
mm-hmm.
from? So we live in a white man society, man, and all these people who running around here. And see, the thing about it is that the most successful among us are the fools. Because they look at their brothers and they be like, well, I could do it. Why you can't do it?
Mm.
Pull yourself up by your bootstrap. And all this mentality, you understand,
yeah.
my brother? So
yeah.
You know, having money and having a financial thing and being able to go out every night and eat and live in the best food, that ain't success. People, you know, look at your society. We dumb as a people, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we don't begin to go back to how we was. Like in Moses' time, I guess some of them believe right now. When Moses then came out of slavery and they went into the wilderness, the wilderness process was to get them to stop being Egyptians. The wilderness process was for them to get out of their system everything they learned to be after 400 years of slavery. we haven't gone through the wilderness yet, so we as black people still, like Egyptians today, you understand the concept.
I understand the principle of what you're saying.
So I think you could expound on that for me after I hang up.
Yeah.
But good show, brother.
I appreciate it. Yeah, man, I appreciate
it. Good show.
You know, the caller makes a very good point. You know, the Egypt that's being talked about biblically, that was a Greek city-state, Aegyptos. That wasn't the African Kemet. All right, that's important for us to note, right? But ultimately, yes, we have not gone through that wilderness whereby we have had the opportunity to reclaim what was stripped away from us over the many years of slavery. All right. So what has happened to us is we've tapped into a lot of white cultural norms. All right. And I have a text that says, I wonder what the result of Vioxx AI about the effect of black supremacy. And I'm gonna do it. All right. All right. Let's see what AI talks about when we put in black. Before we get to that, right? Let's just stay into reality for a second, right? The key aspects of white cultural norms, right? Individualism, okay? The emphasis on personal responsibility and individual achievement. So a lot of times when we talk about, oh, look how good we doing, we're talking about this individualism, right? We don't have communities like we used to, all right? I hear conversations often about, you know, if a family or a young lady or young man, you know, what y'all have, you know, I have 5 children, right? You know, if somebody have 10 children today, it's almost like you look down upon. But the same people who are looking down on you from the previous generations, you ask them how many brothers and sisters they have. They are 1 of 10. They are 1 of 14. Some is 1 of 20. And they were able to function in a society that had a lower GDP. We didn't have tourism on the level that we have it today, right? But we had community. We didn't have this individualism that plagues us today. Our white cultural norm is perfectionism, right? Setting high standards, often unrealistically high, and viewing mistakes as failures. So this is what we do to our leaders. I'm not saying all the leaders are accountable. You understand? But I don't just mean political leaders. I mean leaders in general. If you don't understand what I'm saying, become a leader. You'll find out very quickly. All right? This idea of perfectionism. All right? Another key aspect of white cultural norm is a sense of urgency, prioritizing efficiency and productivity over quality and well-being. So the society could be going to hell. And in the midst of the society going to hell, we could say, no, but we doing good, you know. Look what we did it. Look what we accomplished in 50 years. We doing good, you know. Really? The diabetes doing well. The cancer doing well. The crime doing well. Right? But as long as we making some money, boy, as long as we could buy a piece of property and put one piece of duplex or triplex or mansion on it, we doing good, you know. This is a part of the programming. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a triplex or even a mansion. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you look at the criteria that is utilized to actually determine whether a country is a first world, a second world, a third world country, etc., right? They talk about standing armies. They talk about GDP. They talk about a lot of the accoutrement of colonialism. Intact families are, or how intact communities are, to determine if a country is a first world country. If we change the actual criteria for what it means to be a first world country, see, we don't focus on the family, we don't focus on community now, because when the big boys from UNESCO or the UN or the IDB, you know, when they come to see if we qualify for a loan or if we really as poor as we say we are, you know, the state and the condition of our families, the state and the condition of our communities. See, that's not a white cultural norm. You understand? Unless it is seen from the perspective of a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a dog, a house with a fence. That's what they call a family, right? We had polygamy, or what they call polygamy, right? That could be a part of the conversation too, but we call it family. The first family of Scripture, Israel, came out of Jacob and his four wives. So see, over quality, that's a cultural, that's something that plagues us out of racism, white supremacy. We just think that it just is the way it is. You understand? The either-or thinking, right? This is another cultural norm, all right? Aspects of white cultural norms. The either-or thinking. Binary thinking that limits nuanced understanding and empathy, right? So you've heard the rhetoric around the gentleman who was unfortunately assassinated, Charlie Kirk. And he decried empathy. I don't have empathy, but that thinking is a white cultural norm. You understand? It's an either-or thinking, binary thinking. It limits nuanced understanding. So a people who've been suffering under a system of racism, white supremacy, they don't even have the space to talk about or have a nuanced conversation without being labeled as racist or without being seen as a so-called black supremacist. We can look up black supremacy in a second, Dexter, right? But this is what is haunting us. You understand? This is what is haunting the fact that we don't have the values, that we don't have the cultural mores that we did 400 years ago before we were colonized in the way that we are today, right? The only way you could say that you've really made it or that you've really done something is if you're comparing yourself to what you already did. We ain't nowhere close to building no pyramids. Engineers and all of the academicians and the mathematicians and all of the people who are so smart, and you know, we could send rockets up to space and land the rocket on a platform, and we can't build the pyramids. That's what we was doing. You understand? And what was happening around us building those pyramids? Huh? When Imhotep was building the Mastaba, Saqqara, which wasn't just a pyramid, but an actual medical school with about 3 to 4 miles of corridor underground. Are we talking about that? Are we close to that? Because we're always talking about our PMH and how our political leaders, they don't even check themselves into PMH. They'll go fly away first. So we ain't close to building nothing that we built 400 years ago, because we was building that longer than 400 years ago. You understand? There's also this emphasis on the written word. Key aspects of white cultural norms. Now, what's interesting about that is they want us to focus on the written word of the Eurocentric Greco-Romanized cultures. That's the written word banning books right now. They took over the word woke and made it something else. Woke was what me and you were awakening. To awaken means to stand up. And so these are some of the things that are plaguing us as a nation. And we got to talk about it. When we come back, we're going to look at black supremacy, as one of the texters has urged us to do, to see what AI will say about black supremacy. So I want you to stay locked in. We're going to run to the news and everything, Kermit. We're going to run to the news. We're going to pay some bills here on Guardian Radio today. I am your host, Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Ankusara. It is an open line, and I thank you for the text and the call so far. Keep it locked.
Printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters where we can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Experience Marco's Pizza. Incredible deals. Pair Audi. Order now to take advantage of these limited time offers. This summer, indulge with Marco's. Get two large one-topping pizzas with and choose between a cheesy bread or center squares for just $27.50. Upgrade to chocolate center squares for only $1 more. Or enjoy a large pizza with cheesy bread with a 2-liter soda for $22.50. Don't miss out. Act fast. Order now for carryout or delivery at marcospizzabahamas.com.
In uncertain times, resilience is everything. That's why CFAL is inviting you to the financial services event of the year, the 2025 CFAL Pension and Economic Conference. It all happens Thursday, October 16th at 8 a.m. at the Grand Hyatt Bahamar Convention Center. Under the theme, Resilience in the Face of Global Uncertainty, this half-day conference is your chance to gain powerful insights on navigating today's shifting global economy. This is the premier networking and knowledge sharing event of the year, and you cannot afford to miss it. So secure your spot today at www.cfal.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Great Commission Ministries is God's storehouse. They have been caring for the poor, homeless, and hurting since 1987. You are invited to support their Stop and Drop program by dropping off some food items in their barrels and some cash in their bottles. You can donate an offering each month or pay your tithes online to Great Commission through the Givelify or SunCash apps. Help them to shelter the homeless, feed the hungry, and spread the gospel of Christ. Volunteer your service and support the Live to Give program. Call Great Commission Ministries, God's Storehouse, at 325-5801 for further information. Or stop by the office on Wolf Road. Be blessed.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio today here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. I am your host, Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. Today we have been having a discussion really based on an open line discussion today, but it's been largely about racism, white supremacy. Course, you know, like I said, if you wish to add anything else to the conversation, please feel free to do so. I'm going to run straight to the text line, and then we're going to dive back into the conversation. Text has said, I wonder the result, because I put racism, white supremacy, and how it affects the Bahamas into AI, into the conversation. And so I've added that part of the conversation to AI. I want to add something else. How black supremacy has affected the Bahamas. Let's see what it says. And then we're going to go into what black supremacy is based on what AI says, right? how black supremacy has affected the Bahamas. All right. All right. AI says the Bahamas is a complex history with racial tensions and white supremacy. See, you don't say black supremacy. The Bahamas is a complex history with racial tensions and white supremacy, but there's limited information on the specific impact of black supremacy. There you go. Instead, the country has grappled with the legacies of colonialism, slavery, and systemic racism. And then it goes back into the conversation that we were already having. But for the sake of the conversation, I said, well, what is black supremacy? Right? It says, black supremacy is an ideology that promotes the black people over others, often advocating for black dominance or separatism. This concept can manifest in various ways, including racial separatism, rejection of integration, and the promotion of black culture and identity. So if I'm promoting black culture and identity, I'm a black supremacist. Okay. Critique and controversy. Black supremacy, like any form of supremacy ideology, is often criticized for promoting division, hate, and intolerance. Critics argue that supremacy ideologies can lead to harm. Promoting the superiority of one group over others can lead to discrimination, violence, and harm towards individuals and groups perceived as inferior. So then I said, okay, well, how has black supremacy affected the world today? All right, black supremacy, like any supremacist ideology, can have far-reaching consequences. While there's limited information on the specific impact of black supremacy, so this idea of black supremacy, I mean, AI ain't really finding where it has impacted the world like white supremacy has, right? Next text says, Uncle Great Show, question. Because of technological advancement and moral and cultural evolution, do you think we can or do we even want to go back to where we were over 400 years ago? Because that's probably why people are good and don't even want to talk about the physical and mental slavery we've endured. So that's a great question. Do we even want to go back to where we were 400 years ago? So, AI, where were we 400 years ago? African kingdoms 400 years ago. African kingdoms. So we had African kingdoms. That's the first thing. Let me put it in. What condition were black people in 400 years ago? Okay, I'm doing it live. All right, condition of black people 400 years ago. 400 years ago, black people in various parts of the world, particularly in Africa and the Americas, faced vastly different conditions depending on their location and social status. Here are some key aspects. In Africa, there were diverse societies. Africa was home to numerous kingdoms. Oh, we were in kingdoms. Okay. Empires and societies, each with its own culture, governance, and economic systems. Some notable empires included the Ashanti, the Dahomey, and the Congo. Okay. So that's where we were 400 years ago. All right. Then others asked, well, what kingdoms were in place 400 years ago, right? 400 years ago in West Africa, you had the Songhai Empire. This empire was a major power in West Africa, stretching across modern-day Mali, Niger, Nigeria, Mauritania, and beyond. It was known for its military prowess and cultural achievements under leaders like Sunni Ali and Askia Mohammed. Okay. So we had an empire. We weren't slaves. No, we weren't slaves. We weren't colonized. No. The Mali Empire, although its power was waning, so like 400 years ago, we was coming out of power. The power was waning. Although its power was waning, the Mali Empire still existed and was renowned for its rich gold trade and Islamic scholarship. Now that's a whole another aspect of this conversation, because there's pale Arab Islam, but then there's also a form of African Islam as well. So I want to be clear about that. All right. There's the Ashanti Empire, located in present day Ghana. The Ashanti Empire was famous for its military might and gold trade. There was the Dahomey King, present-day Benin. This kingdom was known for its female warrior armies and human trade. Now, this is all happening, right, in the context of, this is before the Berlin Conference, right, of the late 1800s, where Europe gathered and they decided that they were going to chop up the continent into the countries that you see today. And then basically began to raid it for its resources. One of the main resources they raided the continent for were people, right? There was the Benin Empire located in present-day Nigeria. The Benin Empire was celebrated for its art and riches, particularly in brass and ivory sculptures. So the fact that we were producing art and riches in brass and ivory means that we had the time to actually do that. We weren't people who were stressed out like we are today, right? Why doesn't today's society want us to know about that, right? We talking about the progress we made in 50 years. Are we here yet? Are we anywhere close to talking about an empire or a king going, oh, I could buy this or I could buy that? That's consumerism. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it is one of the stops on the way to getting back to ruling yourselves. In East Africa, you had the Ethiopian Empire. The ancient empire was one of the oldest Christian kingdoms in Africa, known for its unique cultural, unique culture and architecture. So you had the 11 churches of Lalibeli in Ethiopia. All right. So when we start talking about Christianity being an African religion before the Europeans ever knew what Christianity was, this is documented. You understand? Those churches in Ethiopia, which were built in the ground, connected by tunnels, they're still there today. You know, we know that the Bible that we've been presented with today is a European construct, because Ethiopia already existed during the time of the Garden of Eden. Imagine this now. You're just making the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, in Genesis 1. You're talking about Ethiopia, a whole country? I want you to think about that. So the Bible that you're holding today is a European construct. It's a version of the Bible. You understand? You also had the Kingdom of Congo, situated in present-day Angola, the Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo. This kingdom was prominent for its highly developed political and social system, as well as its trade, they say, in slaves and ivory. Now, did we have unrest on the continent 400 years ago? Sure we did. Was the slavery that they're talking about chattel slavery? No, it wasn't. I'm not suggesting that it was a good thing, but people weren't stripped of their humanity, and people could become royalty in the places that enslaved them. And this is recorded biblically, where Joseph was sold off into slavery, and then he became a ruler in the land that he was enslaved in. All right. Let's go back to the text lines. Let's see what's being said today. All right. This text says, "Any of certain African kingdoms do not support the Jesus Christ belief and culture. Hence, we have conflicts and war among nations. Follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and live for the future." All right, texter, I want to ask you about this Jesus that you're talking about. Because the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, talks about another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. So which Jesus are you talking about? Because the Jesus I'm talking about is the one that went into Africa to be protected from the Greeks and the Romans, the Herodians. Send this child, his mother, take the child and his mother into Egypt. And they used the word Egypt there because the Greeks had already colonized that part of Africa. But he wasn't in Egypt proper. He was in a place called Tosca in Nubia, this African Messiah. You understand? the Messiah you're talking about, this Christ you're talking about, is the one in John chapter 1, verse 41. We have found the Messiah who is being interpreted to Christ. And that interpretation, that JC, that you think you worship in the real and living Messiah, you worship in Julius Caesar. You understand? In one breath, he is a loving Messiah. In the next breath, sword. In scripture. You understand? So let's be very careful about proselytizing to the innocent minds when we ourselves have not been properly educated on what has happened to us because the religions have been colonized. If I was to go into Google right now and type in Jesus Christ, I'm going to see a white man. Matter of fact, let me do it. Let me do it. Because this speaks to the actual programming. So if I just type in Jesus Christ, follow Jesus Christ. So, okay, I'm going to text in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to hit images. And then this white man jumps up. Okay, I ain't got nothing against white people, but I'm trying to figure out how this ties into the description of who they're referring to as Jesus Christ. So if you go to the King James Version of the Bible, and we want to go to Revelation chapter 1, because I want to know which Jesus you're asking me to follow. Are you asking me to follow the real and living Messiah? Or are you asking me to follow another Jesus? Okay, so when we go to, and I like to use the Blue Letter Bible. Call ICU, we're going to come to you just a second. I just want to make sure we're clear about what the texter is saying, because I can't have people calling in asking us to follow some false Messiah. All right, so Revelation chapter 1, okay. If we start at verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. One like unto the Son of Man. So this is somebody related to the Son of Man, or like the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool. So this is woolly white hair, as white as snow. My grandfather had hair like white as snow. He was a black man. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. But it goes on. And his feet like unto fine brass. Well, brass ain't the image when I put in Jesus Christ just now, his skin was in like fine brass. But then it goes further. As if they burned in a furnace. Well, now you're talking about even darker brass. So who is this image that when I type in Jesus Christ in Google, this white man who's jumping up on the screen, who is that? That ain't the Jesus you're telling me to follow it, because that ain't the one being described here in Revelations. All right? 323-6232-3254-316-342-300-5720. Call you live on Guardian Radio today.
Hello.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah, let me... This Jesus that you're talking about...
Yeah.
Is this a part of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost?
This is a part of I and my Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30.
But that, okay, we're on the same level with that.
Yeah.
Jesus that was on the cross and rose 3 days later that you're talking about?
I'm talking about the one that's being referenced in Scripture that they definitely give that that narrative to, yes.
Okay, so we're on the same wavelength. Yeah. Yes. You just teach it different then. We
well, I'm using scripture.
The same
see,
Jesus.
Let me be clear, caller. Yeah. When I went into Google then Jesus Christ, it gave me an image other than what scripture has given us.
Okay, but you have to remember now, Google is run by man.
Okay.
Man is going to put in what they want you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible can't lie.
So who wrote the Bible?
Man inspired by God. The boys who were doing Google, he was inspired by God. Else he would have been speaking truth.
But Google is, like you said, because Google is AI technology. Google is going to ultimately tell us the story or the narrative that most people are holding within. So the reason why I did it was because the texter said, follow Jesus Christ. So if I was a person who didn't know who Jesus Christ was, and no, I just went no. And I just wanted to find out who Jesus was.
You know, there's a scripture says,
to show thyself approved.
Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Approved. Can't take that nobody study the word for you, know. Because when somebody study the word for you, they're going to tell you what they think you should know, what they think you should know.
Right.
They say, that's why they say, study to make thyself.
So you would agree, Carlo, that we're misled as a nation because we're not studying to show ourselves approved.
If you're going to sit down, if you want to be like a paper and just stay there and let people write on you or tell you what they want you to know, then it's up to you. But just go to the scripture and go do what the scriptures say.
Right.
But let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
We don't want to judge or grade sin on a 1, 2, 3. This a one sin, this a two sin, this a three sin. Which you think is more dangerous? A man and a woman who goes to church but don't live in the same house. Or a husband and wife that lives in the same house that go to two different churches.
And your question is, which is a worse sin?
Not really a worse sin. Which is harder to... All sin is sin. Sin is sin. Sin ain't going to agree. But which one you think is more dangerous? A man and a woman who are living in the same house that are going to two different churches than a husband and wife going to the same church that is living in two different houses?
Well, I couldn't actually judge that on what you call with a bit of broad brush. Let me tell you why I'm saying that, right? If you go to the book of John, chapter 7, verse 24, right? Verse 24 makes a very, very important point that I don't want us to miss, right? It says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So it ain't telling
judge
us not
the older parent.
But judge righteous judgment. So now we have to apply righteousness to those two circumstances. Why are the husband and wife doing what they're doing? We can't judge that just based on looking at them. We have to confront them if we care. If we want to understand which one is more dangerous, you said.
I can't say which one is more sinful.
Okay.
I don't want to say that.
Right.
So I'm trying to be careful with the word that I would use.
Yeah.
But how do you approach a couple like that?
Well, I would ask them. I would say, what? Why? You say the first one couple, they live together, but they go to separate churches.
Yes.
Then you got another couple who don't live together, but they go to the same church.
Yeah.
So first of all, I would ask the couple who aren't living together, are they a couple? Because they may be a former couple. You're saying they're married. Okay, I understand. So you're saying they're married, but they're separated.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're both holding on to their faith because they are both going to the same church.
Yeah.
The other couple, they are married. They live in the same house, but they go into two different churches.
The two of them holding positions in two different churches.
And are they in the nation?
Yeah, I think one should be a pastor, and I sure one is a deaconess. But they're in two different churches.
So
you see where I'm trying to get with this?
I'm trying to see.
No, where I'm trying to get with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am now a widower. My wife is now passed. We both used to go to the same church.
Okay, condolences.
Over dinner, or when we go to do our Sunday rest, we'll discuss things that the pastor talked about.
Right.
So, you know, I'll say, well, I think he should have said
this
like
week.
This. She will say, well, I think he might have should have said like, oh, he meant it this. So we discuss the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
But if you live it like that, you going to listen to one sermon. Mm-hmm. Your husband going to listen to another sermon. Man, you get all that confusion.
But they may be discussing what each pastor said and then reconciling it. They may say, my pastor taught, but this.
Better for them to just go to the same church?
So,
I mean, I can't see.
No, okay. Here's the ultimate reality, right? This is why we started the conversation today, yeah, talking about racism, white supremacy. Racism, white supremacy has done us. It has brought in the It has brought in the notion, right, that we as a people don't have a true religious identity, right? If we go to the book of Galatians, I want to say Galatians chapter 4, okay? There's a verse that's utilized often that ultimately can bring confusion to those who don't study to show themselves approved. Right? Or maybe Galatians 3. I come right now, caller. I come right now. Right? Because it talks about Greek, Gentile. So that's Galatians 3. Right? Galatians 3, chapter 28 and 29. All right? It's making this claim, hey, man, we're basically all the same. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female, nor for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the couple who go into different churches, as far as they're concerned, we all one in Christ. Right? But this is what, see, Galatian, that had nothing to do with the real and living Messiah. The book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, the Messiah told his disciples, do not go to the Gentiles. Do not enter into the city of the Samaritans. These people in Galatia, they were Gentiles. But this is the confusion that they brought into our lives. All right? I'll stop there for now. Let's go back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call it your life.
Yes, Anku. A lot of Asians are about personal lives, and so I like how you juxtapose everything back at Abraham,
mm-hmm.
who was also the father of Muhammad, right?
Correct.
Yes, and so when you look at the genealogy, you see that Abraham is the father of the seeds of these nations.
Mm-hmm.
So let's preach a oneness concept and, you know, stop all of the schism, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ism that is designed to suit one race of people.
Mm-hmm.
So you started to talk. Anku, my mind is so full of this stuff until I'm afraid, but...
You're bubbling over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bible is also says, like, but to Julian, right? Listen to the sermon, and then you determine. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so remember now, Yeshua traveled a lot too.
Yeah.
So he picked up concepts and spread ideologies and philosophies. I don't know what you want to say about Dave, but, you know, sometimes it's good to speak and, you know, let's get off a little piece of stuff. Right? Let me look at liberalism.
Mm-hmm. But that's what the Messiah was, a revolutionary force. He was flipping tables.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes, he didn't sit down and just... And so I wish our politicians would be like that. They would deal with growth over...
Mm.
You know what I mean? And self-actualize every day, and then 5 years will become fruitful.
Mm.
Even as so simple as being truthful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very sickened by the raping of the mind of the black man, right? You know, I agree with, you know, I'm able to juxtapose the things here and there.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, Andrew, because I put the little things together from all the little decades of reading,
mm-hmm.
that some people seem to think that critical thinking is not needed. They figure what you just agree. But see, critical thinking is something we need to teach, because you hear all sides,
mm-hmm.
many objections, and then you make a deductive reason and you come to conclusion.
Yeah.
So Julian started to talk about Google.
Mm-hmm.
I know for sure, for me, see, the more you have read, see, if you get 61.
Right.
So even as things are transcribed or put onto Google, I'm still able to juxtapose the same thing like I read in paperback 40, 50 years ago. They could be on Google today.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is we have to have common sense to separate truth from lie, read it be the Bible. We know it's adulterated by man. I don't need no one to even agree with me on that.
Mm.
If you look at how they inundated the Old Testament with the apostles,
mm.
and not the disciples,
mm.
then we fast forward today in relation to what you're talking about, supremacy, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that most of us who have sense, who's read, should be able to juxtapose population growth with population control.
Mm.
And so you've been hearing me talking about study memorandum 220 per word. Depopulation agenda known as the Kissinger Report.
Mm-hmm.
These things are declassified now, so I can afford to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Released by Dial Press in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
So people who say conspiracy theorists, just let them keep back. You and I know
mm-hmm.
that the reason why they kidnap Egypt's history and call it Egyptology, so they could run the psychology on us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when I hear you speak, I know what you're saying, because just look at the whole African history, the God concepts, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. We know that our minds are being raped. So somebody like me who sits and listens to you, you know, I could appreciate whatever you're saying. Mm-hmm. So now, as it relates to big tech, just want to share this before I go.
Mm-hmm.
In 2019, that I think, it's a big tech company. I can't remember the name because it doesn't matter. But they had hired or solicited citizens to become a part of an autonomous robot project in which the citizens were paid $250,000 to live vicariously with a robot, feeding emotions, expressions, and brain thoughts and whatever to the robot.
Right.
And they would be paid for it. So when I read this, I intuitively knew what the agenda is. That's why I say you have to look at the intentions behind the inventions. But it's all about control, even as mind control. So for me, even as I read Google and the science, I knew what was true and what was not.
Right.
Even because I just juxtaposed common sense, you know, to do a show on, because even as I read the Constitution, Angu, they said that the Constitution belongs to the people. And it belongs to me, and it was never given to me. And then they turn around, but Master gave them, they run with it, put it in their bosom, and create a schism. That's what they did, because they didn't look at it. All right, the conversation was the other day on the air, with, I think it was the gentleman you had on. You didn't realize we uncovered something that shows the antiquity or the outdate, how much this thing is anachronistic or outdated, in the fact that it says that it was related to what I was saying when they said the Queen appointed the Prime Minister. And all, I mean, the Queen appointed the Prime Minister and the Governor General and all them different things on her behalf. But we know the Prime Minister appoints the Governor General. So that just shows you how late, how old the literature is then. I like to listen.
Thank you. Yeah, we're going to continue that conversation next week. So definitely stay tuned for that. But I appreciate your call, 52. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio. And then I can jump back into some of your points, 52. Go ahead, caller. You're live here on Guardian Radio today.
Hi, sorry to call you back. I called.
No, man, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry.
But I like your topic today. Like, I'm just going to make one final comment.
Sure.
So I know what you're.
I appreciate
you. So you're on the topic about white supremacy now.
Yeah.
And then now I'm hearing you talk about Christianity and Jesus.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I know when I hang up the phone, I'm going to get a lot of hits for this. Now, you were asking about the root cause and history, so. I mean, in order for us to really deal with white supremacy, I mean, we have to go way back. And I'm not talking about, like, a couple, 50, 60 years ago. We
thousands
have to go
of
years. Way back.
Okay.
Now, how many black people have a white Jesus in their home?
A lot.
Now, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to do some research into Christianity and Jesus and where that came about. Now,
right.
If we're going to do some research into that, we're going back to, like, 100-200 AD, Council of Nicaea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus, now, obviously everybody can hear, I'm not really...
No, religious. Go
I'm
ahead.
I'm more spiritual than I am religious.
Right, we're working
now,
with
Jesus,
you.
Jesus, right, Jesus and Christianity was imposed upon the black people at that time, that it's slaves, through slaves and through slavery at that time.
Yeah.
And on the black race.
Yeah.
When we came in, if it was Africa, and at that time that wasn't the name of the continent, but let's just say Africa.
Right.
There was no Christian. That wasn't the God. That wasn't the creative power that we were serving at that time.
Right.
Now,
right.
Jesus is the God of Rome.
Mm.
You see, when they created their Christianity, they didn't want to serve Buddha because Buddha is for the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
You have Krishna, which is for the Indians. And then you have other deities. You have Muhammad. You have different ones.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, when they were they were putting everything together through Rome, they created Christianity, and that's when Jesus was put into place as their God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know I'm going to get a lot of hits for this,
you're speaking truth to power.
A lot of people to just do some research into that, and then when you talk about white supremacy, you have to understand when you're serving Jesus exactly, and Jesus is the what we call him now, but at that time there was no J in the alphabet.
Come on now, that's right.
Okay, so
yes.
we're really talking about Zeus here.
My Lord,
so we have to do the research. So when we talk about white supremacy and who we're serving Jesus and. We're serving a Roman God. That's really who we're serving, and this is happened through like I said, but we have to start from there. There is a gentleman now, really really good. His name is Walter Williams. I tune into him on YouTube.
Okay,
and that's a good starting place because he can really break down history and the and a lot of the whitewashing, a lot of the whitewashing in history and how black people really contributed and around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like 100, 280. This is how far we have to go back
mm-hmm.
in order to understand who we are as a people.
Wow.
You see, even when you talk, Egypt is the name that was given to the land after the Arabs or the Persians conquered that region. So mm-hmm. before that, you're talking about Kemet.
Okay.
So we got, and this is back, and I'm talking about 800 AD.
Mm.
So the individuals that are sitting there in Egypt now, this is, and they say, oh, this is ours, and they say, oh, black people aren't attached to that specific region, but Persia conquered Egypt in about 600-700 AD, and that's when the change occurred.
Okay.
So this is how far we have to go back to do our history in order to understand
mm-hmm.
what white supremacy and what and who we are as a people. And once we could start doing that research, then we can go through history.
Yes.
And then we could come to a place where, because you see, self-confidence, it comes from within.
Yes.
But you're not really going to understand that until you go back in history.
Yes.
And I spent a lot of time in America. You know, I'm a born Bohemian, and I mm-hmm. left when I went to live with my aunt. When I left high school, I went to SAC.
Okay.
And, you know, so I've been able to see it both ways.
Yeah.
And so I'm just encouraging everybody, go back into history.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go way back. And you could also tune into a gentleman, like I said, on YouTube, Walter Williams,
okay.
and he'll really break it down. I mean, when he's done, you'll be so and he references his material. This is not somebody that's just speaking, you know, French.
Right, he's off the top of his head.
Referencing mm-hmm. what he's talking about.
Walter Williams, you say his name is?
Yes, Walter Williams on YouTube, and he's really gonna break it down. The
mm-hmm.
Council of Nicaea, the people that were involved. Black people especially that were involved and how we contributed at that time. But a lot of things got whitewashed.
Right.
So
thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much for the time. For
yeah, man. I appreciate
okay.
that. I appreciate that. You know, we're in a beautiful day and time where we have callers calling in to educate us about the realities of racism, white supremacy within religion. I'm going to add to that conversation. We're going to talk about the Flavian dynasty and some of the Piso family that was around before the Nicene Council. We're going to run to a break here on Guardian Radio today on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Back after this.
Don't settle for ordinary when you can have the Farmhouse King only at Burger King Nassau.
It's back!
Mm-hmm. Sink your teeth into 100% flame-grilled beef, stacked with the American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and the bold sauce that adds the perfect kick for a flavor sensation fit for a king. Grab the Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or go all in with the Farmhouse King Feast. It's bigger, it's better, and it's only at Burger King Nassau.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Nothing beats a Chikchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chikchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chikchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChikchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Me Art of Graphics.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio Today here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sarah. I have an open line today, but we've been talking about racism, white supremacy, Christianity, etc. Caller before the break talked about the need for us to do research on Christianity in the first century and even all the way up until the Nicene Council, etc. So I wanted to add to that discussion. I'm appreciative of the caller. The Flavian dynasty, because I also encourage you to look up a gentleman by the name of Dr. A.J. Varma on YouTube, who also breaks down this information very clearly. So I'm happy to know that there are others doing it as well. But the Flavian dynasty played a significant role in shaping early Christianity in the first century. This Roman imperial family, which included emperors Vespasian, Titus, and Domitian, ruled from six. That's their trinity, the triumvirate. When they talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they talking about their triumvirate, right? They ruled from 69 to 96 in the Common Era, or AD. Some researchers suggest that the Flavians might have even invented Christianity as a means to pacify Jewish rebels and promote Roman interests. Not me saying it. Key points about the Flavian dynasty, propaganda, and the literature. The Flavians used literature as a tool for propaganda, controlling public opinion and promoting their agenda. Historians like Josephus, who wrote under their patronage, provide valuable insights into this period. So when you're doing study biblically, you go to Strong's Concordance and you start to look up words, you can run right back into Josephus, you can run right back into Homer, you can run right back into Nero. You can run right back into these same families, right? The destruction of Jerusalem, the Flavian dynasty's military campaign led to the destruction of Jerusalem and the Second Temple in 70 CE or AD, a pivotal event in Jewish and Christian history, right? The Flavians' reign coincided with significant events that shaped early Christianity, including the spread of Christianity throughout Roman Empire and the persecution under Domitian. So in the book of Isaiah chapter 19, it talks about after the Persians had ruled in this area that they're calling Egypt, Alexander the Greek comes to rule. And then one of his generals, right, Ptolemy Soter, he is who brought in savior worship. He is who brought in this idea of somebody come and save me. This is mentioned in the book of Isaiah chapter 19. I don't have time to read it today, but you can do your research. It talks about Memphis. It talks about, and this Memphis is where the Memphite theology, where the Shabaka stone that sits in the British Museum sits today. This Shabaka stone comes out of the Memphite theology, and this is what gives way to what you call the Torah, which we know as the Torah. Some call it the Tanakh. This is coincided by the fact that the book of Acts chapter 7 verse 22 says Moses was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. And then they're saying that he was the one who brought forth the law. He brought forth these five books. So there's a lot to be studied in Christianity, right? Even to the point where when we say our prayers and we say in Jesus' name, amen, we're saying that Jesus' name is amen. The book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 talks about the amen, right? This amen is none other than Tut Ankh Amun, or Tut Ankh Amen. Tut, child, Ankh, the key or the way, Amun, to the hidden one. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. No one comes to the Father but by me. This African Messiah, right? This Tut Ankh Amun, who was the Messiah of his generation, the book of Revelation is found in his tomb. Portions of it. You can do the research. You understand? So when I get text like this, Brother Aeneas, when it comes to Jesus Christ, the Son of only one according to the Holy Spirit. Well, not according to Scripture. There ain't only one. Because there's a Jesus justice. Yeah. Colossians 4:11. Right? There's a Jesus justice. There's a bar Jesus in Acts chapter 13. Yes. There's a Jesus son of Mary in the book of Matthew chapter 2, right? In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 4, it talks about another Jesus, and this is Paul talking, and this Paul is none other than the Josephus that we just read about, who was a part of the Flavian dynasty, who was bringing forth their Christ, Europe's Christ, that did not exist in Africa until the Europeans brought it. So this text says, when it comes to Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, there is only one according to the Holy Spirit. Once you had the Jesus Christ experience, what's the Jesus Christ experience? Slavery? Because Jesus died for our sins 2,000 years ago, but then 400 years ago, we was put in shackles. And then in the book of Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, it says that these Amorites, they're going to come back again and bring forth this slavery again. This is what's happening around the world today. This is what's taking place with all of the nationalism and all of the racism that you see rearing its head across the world today. So I don't know what scripture you're reading, Dexter, right? We don't have to wonder who man say that he is. Just know by the Holy Spirit who is the revealer of all truth. Well, if the Holy Spirit is the revealer of all truth, how come you're listening to Paul so much? Because Paul ain't the Holy Spirit. Caller, you're live. No? All right. So I want us to be very clear that racism, white supremacy has colonized what we're calling our religion today. And it causes the confusion that we're ultimately suffering from in this country, because ultimately you have all these different gods. I want you to think about this. You have all these different gods in the Bible, but you only have one devil. The same devil who could become an angel of light in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 to 15 and all of his ministers who are transformed into the ministers of righteousness. You understand? Revelation chapter 12 verse 9 talks about the fact that this Satan deceived the whole world. Everyone got deceived. So everybody better be studying. Let's go back to the phone lines. We only got a couple of minutes left. Call you live on Guardian Radio today. Call it going.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
How are you?
Yeah. The question is, so do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in the real and living Messiah, Yahshua Christ. Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And this same Jesus died and rose again?
This same Jesus did die and rise again. But let's be clear about what that ultimately was saying. In the book of Matthew chapter 27, when it talks about Jesus' death and resurrection, in verse 52, it talks about people who were raised up out of their graves and went and walked into the city, and they talked amongst the people. That is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, where it says, prophesy over the dry bones, and I will take you up out of the graves. It's talking about a mental resurrection. It's talking about the fact that we are coming out of a time of ignorance. And that is what the real and living Messiah, Yahshua Christ, actually taught.
Well, let me say something to you, young man.
Go ahead.
You need to go back and do your research.
No, I just gave you the research. No. See, this is unfortunately what happens under a system of racism, white supremacy. You're going to parrot to me a narrative that is not scripturally based. That is not scripturally based. And that is the problem in the country today. We just want to spit. Whatever the oppressor put in our minds is all we want to talk about. When in fact, you can go and look into the language. You can know that the word resurrection don't mean dead person is coming back to life from death. That's after rigor mortis, ain't no coming back. Lazarus, they say, was sleeping. They didn't say he was dead. Let's run back to this last caller before we end the show today.
Yeah, Andrew, I'd just like to thank you very much. You know, that last call is a part of the problem. His mind is being raped. Mm. I don't care if you get angry, but remember now, it was a Jewish tradition for a reburial because the Sabbath was at hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is a Jewish custom, so he needed to do his research. And, you know, why should you, I mean, they even believe somebody died for their sins and all. This is how pathetic they are. You know, like, if you really believe someone, you see, people got the context, the lexicology, the transliteration over the decades. They are being raped. I mean, why do we believe this? When you die, life is spiritual, but why do you believe everything you was told?
If Scripture says you're given once to die.
Deviates from that. They are incorrect and they are this and that. I mean, give me a break, brother.
Yes, Scripture says, so they say, go back and study. Script in the book of Hebrews, it says you are given once to die and then the judgment. Once. So there's a narrative that the Greco-Romans have pushed on us. It's not working for us. If we're going to be true Christians, let's at least admit that. Let's at least admit that the devil got his hand into the Scripture. Because it says the devil got his hand into the Scripture in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. Please read it. Don't say I saying it. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at me. This has been a great day. This has been a great show. I appreciate all the texters. I appreciate all the callers. I appreciate all of the listeners. I appreciate Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for allowing us to share this conversation on this platform. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahuna Nkrumah. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about identity theft and how it creates an ignorance about Scripture. All right, so our guest tomorrow is going to be Kahuna Mantu-Tah, all the way from London, England. And of course, you, the callers, we appreciate you and we look forward to you being here tomorrow at 96.9 Guardian Radio. Next, we have Z Live coming up. So keep it locked here on Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Namaste, family.